Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 229. And our guest bringing a dream for interpretation today is Selena from Clarksville, Georgia. And as you'll hear, because we've actually just finished recording the dream interpretation with Selena, and I'm just adding the bit of the show on at the beginning here. As you'll hear, Selena has actually had three short dreams in a series over 6 weeks. And she felt that the dreams, and as you'll hear, it certainly sounds like the dreams are getting worse and worse and worse. It's like there's this situation and it's just going from bad to worse. So she wanted to know what this reflected in her life. Now, as you understand when you hear it, it's actually a very positive dream series, and there is so much insight in this for Selena, and you'll hear her really begin to relate it to what's happening in her life and what she can take from it. If you haven't listened to the Dream Show before, the formula is that you put up your hand to volunteer to be a guest on the show, and we line it all up, and I know nothing about the dream. I have no idea what dream you're going to present until the moment we start to record. So what you get is me and you listening to the dream for the very first time. And so you also gain the insight into how we explore the dream, how we work through it to find out what it means and how it relates to the person's life and what they can take from it to improve things in their lives. Just before we go to Selena, the websites are janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. That's where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. Of course, you can also listen to The Dream Show on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Also at janeteresa.com, you can find out how to consult with me about your dreams privately and confidentially. You can also read hundreds of blogs, free resources about dreams and dreaming. And then the other website, my learning platform, the Dream Academy, you can find at dream-academy-online.com. And that's where you can go to do courses, for example, how to interpret your dreams step-by-step course. You can do a dream alchemy course. You can learn to become a dream therapist. And these are courses that you do in your own time. So there are videos of me talking to you. There are notes to download. There are exercises to do. In the first one, there's a chart, a dream interpretation chart to download. And then I take you through the step-by-step. So you go through with a dream and step-by-step, you fill in the chart to arrive at your own interpretation while learning the steps. So that's dream-academy-online.com. But more importantly at the moment, on to Selena and her dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Selena.
Thank you so much, Jane Teresa. It's wonderful to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Now, I understand you're from Atlanta and you're from Clarksville. I haven't heard of Clarksville before. What is it, a big place, a little place?
It's a little place. There's about 1,200 residents in Clarksville, Georgia, in a county that's, 250 maybe square miles. There's only 44,000 of us. It's in the foothills of the mountains north of Atlanta, about an hour.
Oh, that sounds absolutely divine.
It is.
So, welcome. And as usual, I have no idea what your dream is going to be about, so I'm sitting here all ears, and your floor is yours.
Thank you so much. So I reached out to you. I try to notice my dreams, and at some point I set my intention to remember my dreams at night and then record them, because I think that there's a bridge here, but I don't really know how to walk across it. You do. I began having this series of dreams, and after the third related dream, I knew that I needed to bring it to you because I'm not finding anything else that can help me. And I know that the answer is within, but I think that you and I can probably draw that out. So let me tell you about my dreams. There's yes. Three of them. In the dream, the first dream, I have two daughters, and I'm preparing my daughters and I found a safe place for us to be. It's underground in a bunker, and I am making house there, and that's where we're moving to because there's something coming. Like, I guess I at some point I had determined that the something coming was weather related. And I remember making the place there and then coming up to where other people were around, and they were a little more anxious, I think, and trying to be, and my sister was there, and she was going to bunk with other people up on the ground, up high, and there was all these decks, and I say hello to her, and I don't feel at any point in this, Jane, I don't feel anxious or afraid. I'm just preparing for the coming storm.
Yes.
And that was the big takeaway from dream one. Dream two, I am again preparing for something coming. And I have my daughters near, and we are this time preparing, one, a place to live and gathering provisions and maybe gathering people around us. What's coming in dream two is a war. And again, I don't feel anxious about it. I'm taking the steps that I need to take to be prepared for it. Other people are anxious about it. And a few weeks go on and dream three comes. Same thing, but this time in dream three, I'm like, ugh. You know, it's like my dream itself has awareness of the first two dreams. And again, I'm preparing. Again, I have my daughters near. This time, what's coming is the Antichrist. Okay, so it's time to call Jane Teresa. Because I don't know what's going on anymore. So this is the first time in my life that I've had a dream series. Now, I've had the same content dream again and again throughout over time, but I've never had a dream series. And in this dream series, things just seem to be getting worse, don't they? From
they
storm
do.
To war, to the Antichrist. You know? So
they certainly do.
Detail?
Yes. Oh, it's a lovely series to work with. And for people listening in, just to I want to comment on the fact that it's a dream series and really underline that again. You know, as you say, there are recurring dreams where we have either exactly the same dream or we have a similar dream theme. But in those recurring dreams, they usually all end the same. There is no progression. There will be variations of the theme, but there's no real sense of progression, either progression for the good or, as appears to be in this dream, progression for the bad.
My conscience is going, hey, notice this.
Yes,
and if you're not getting your attention with the coming storm, coming war, how about the Antichrist? Is that getting your attention?
And dreams do that beautifully. You know, they really can ramp up the drama on the one hand to really grab our attention. And on the other hand, sometimes if our emotions about, particularly our unconscious emotions about something, are not being heard, then those unconscious emotions can make themselves felt more in the dream, and that's kind of, you know, part of what's going on. Can I get some timing on it? When did you have the first dream, Selena?
I knew you were going to ask me this. Can you bring my phone, please? This would have happened in the last few months, and it seems like it has a mid-December timing for the first one. It would be a little closer to after mid-December. So it would have been after December 12th is the timing of the first one.
Right. And the second one?
A couple of weeks later. And then the next one is a couple of weeks later. It's just kind of like it's given me time to kind of reconcile the dream, and I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. So there may also, as we explore it, there may also be a correlation that something that's happening at two weekly periods is triggering this dream because you've noticed a two weekly thing. So it may, you know, while you're perceiving this as, oh, it's given me 2 weeks to get the message and I'm not, so it's bringing on the next level of the dream, that may be true, but it also may be correlating with something that's happening every 2 weeks that's triggering it, because the dream is usually processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the 1 to 2 days beforehand, and then anything that comes up in that's similar to the past, that resonates with the past, we may get aspects of the past come up. And the whole idea of this is to prepare us to wake up in the morning to with a reset mindset, a fresh mindset, fresh perspective, so we can able to cope going forward. So we, you know, as we go through it, if you think, you know, what was happening in the 1 to 2 days before each of these series of the dreams, that might also help to throw some light.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that might be. And after, you know, the second dream, I realized that I was having a dream series and that they were progressing. And so I'm combing through your information and just having been a fan of your podcast, I then said, okay, I need to know what's happening in the couple of days before, because this is relevant to why I'm having the dreams. And really, unless I'm totally missing it, the only, like, preparation around thing, I got the well at my house. I have well water. How blessed am I, right? and having the well at my house service the night before the Antichrist dream. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it is kind of like preparation or nesting, because all of the dreams were around my daughters and preparing them for something coming. I don't know if it's related or not, but that did stand out, and I'm trying to go through my dream journal now, just looking for when the others. It's a digital journal, and it's so big, it's not fully.
No, that's okay. Just put it to one side. So your daughters and your daughters were present in each dream as well, and there was a sense in each dream that you're preparing for all of you, but particularly for your daughters.
Yeah, and I carry this sense in my life that there's things that we all do for our children that we don't do for ourselves. And so preparing them in this way, it may be directly related to them.
That's
why I'm having this preparation dream.
That's a really good observation that, you know, your dreaming brain can say there is a certain situation in your life at the moment that you're perhaps not addressing or perhaps not fully acknowledging. So let's imagine if you were doing this for your children. Oh, well, actually, I build a bunker, I do this, I do that. So, yes. As you say, you know, what would they do for myself? But one way, the approach that I take, and you probably know now if you've listened to some episodes of this show, is that we look at everyone in a dream as representing something about ourselves. So even though it's really tempting to look at your daughters as my daughters, the people that I try to make safe in my world, they also represent yourself. So, you know, the dream is then very cleverly putting the context, as you say, of, you know, what I would make safe for my daughters, why aren't I doing that for myself? Well, your daughters in the dream are an aspect of yourself. So you are trying to do that or becoming aware of that in the dream. One of the things that strikes me, Selena, is that there are always other people around and they're more anxious. You know, in the first dream, there were other people around and they were more anxious than you were. In the second one, again, you're not anxious, but others are anxious. Do you remember in the Antichrist dream whether there were other people and what their anxiety level was?
I don't remember their anxiety level, I guess, because I was noticing that my primary, you know, my anxiety level was rising around the Antichrist, but there was never like mass hysteria, just lots of hustle and bustle and, you know, oh no.
Yeah.
Hide.
So one thing that's possible here is because it's a courageous and helpful thing to do, to look at everyone in a dream as representing something about yourself, there's a sense here of all the other people in the dream, one and two, that were anxious, is the part of yourself that did have quite high anxiety about something, but that you kind of keep in the background because you, the main character in the dream, the one you're most conscious of in life, the kind of steering conscious pilot in your life, keeps the anxiety at arm's length. I know, but I'm in control here. I'm okay. I've got this. I'm creating a safe space for us. I'm not anxious. I can do this. So there's that kind of feeling. I'm preparing, and all the time I'm preparing, then I'm doing something which is stopping me from being anxious. Now, in the last dream, as you say, it was more a sense of there was no mass anxiety, but there was a sense of hustle and bustle. Now, often when we're talking about our dreams to someone, our unconscious mind will join in and because it's kind of there, because we're talking the unconscious language of our own dreams, and it will help giving clues. So the fact that you're talking about no mass hysteria versus hustle and bustle, it's in a way you're telling us both that when there is a potential for mass hysteria, when there's something in your life that you fear or feel could make you extremely anxious, you probably go into hustle and bustle mode. you go into, okay, I can do something here, I can take an action. And we've got that in the first dream, really, with I'm doing something, I'm making a safe place for us, we will move into it. I'm actually physically doing something to keep my anxiety at arm's length. I'm doing hustle and bustle, because hustle and bustle, I feel, is better than the mass hysteria, which is true.
You are nailing this.
Yes.
If things seem stressful for me, then I get into, I do whatever I can do.
Yeah.
as a manager, you're nailing that. So these different pieces of me, and I suppose I know this, that everything in the dream represents some aspect of myself. And I also share this with my daughter and try and remember this myself when we're talking about dreams. But it's so easy for me to also forget that.
Yes.
You know, I saw my sister and she's, you know, trying to make alliances and find a safe place. That was me.
Yes.
The part of the daughters are me.
Yeah.
Bunker is me.
It's you. Part of the difficulty is it's actually easier to do this for other people, because when it's your dream, and particularly when it's not completely surreal, it's like every dream, apart from perhaps preparing for the Antichrist, every aspect of your dreams there is kind of, yeah, that could happen. Yeah, there's my daughters, I know them. There's my sister, I know her. Yeah, I'm the kind of person that could build a bunker. I could do this. Every sense of that is something that feels like it could happen, as opposed to a dream which is totally surreal. You know, oh, well, there was a white horse in the backyard, and then a pink elephant came down, and then this balloon appeared, and we know then, well, that would just not happen. So we know we're definitely dealing with a surreal dream, and it's easier when we have a dream like that to be able to interpret it, whereas when it feels more like something that could happen, it gets really, really hard, really hard for us to identify what these different aspects of ourselves represent. So if we jump in there at your sister, for example, because of all the other people that could have been in this dream, your dream in mind picked your sister. If you were to pick three words to describe her personality or approach to life, what would they be?
Very nurturing. She is. I call her my sister mother because she did that role as mother for me. Very nurturing. Also very dramatic. You know, she will cry over things and very deep about things, and very connected in her community.
And connected.
Great resources.
Mm. So nurturing, sister, mother, dramatic and connected in her community. Now, in the dream where she appears, this part of yourself, she's building her bunker above ground, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah.
She is. On a lot of decks. There's a lot of decks. So it's not only above ground, it's... Oh, and this was the storm dream in the first one, so... But I had not even known at the moment of meeting her in the dream and her being on the decks that... that it was a storm that we were preparing for. I just knew we were preparing for something. And now that we are discussing this and you're bringing it all back to light and the timing's coming in, I realized that I had asked her in the dream if we needed to, could we find additional support with her? And she actually had the better plan. Because a bunker during a storm could easily be flooded, but she was building on decks above ground.
Mm.
Wow.
So, yes, so she had the better wisdom. So, you know, from that part, there's a part of yourself, represented by your sister, that does have a better plan, or that at the time of the dream, that better plan was beginning to come into awareness, that you were beginning to notice that when I build a bunker, which we'll look into the symbolism of that in a minute, and I feel like I'm doing the best thing to protect myself and keep anxiety at bay and hustle and bustle, then perhaps I'm not doing the best thing. Perhaps there is another solution here. And her solution was to be more out in the open, as you say, so that you couldn't actually get flooded. So if you think of the bunker as being... deep down in the ground, which of course it is. And again, let's move away from the literal. It's very easy for us to say, but of course you'd build a bunker under the ground. Where else would you build it? if we move into kind of dream symbolism, under the ground could possibly be unconscious, like deep down inside, push that down there, get that down in the dark where it's safe. So again, it's kind of bordering on that feeling, Selena, of if I've got huge anxiety in my life or something that I'm even a little bit anxious about, and I'm not so comfortable being with that, I'm more comfortable doing something about it, then maybe I'll push the emotions down to keep them safe so that above ground I can continue to, in my conscious world, do what needs to be done, hustle and bustle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But it was people in the bunker too. That it was like a community share bunker. So would that then translate as we push these emotions down and sweep them aside, try to bury them, whatever that is going on, that unconscious aspect of self that's working, then am I finding friends in low places?
That would be one exploration of it, definitely, that you could look for friends in higher places, look for higher support. But remember again that this is all about you. So if we look at your sister, you know, and you're focusing there on the sense of community, and I agree there, there's that sense of what would community be in a dream? Yeah, it may be, as you're suggesting, it may be re-examining who your community is and who you relate to, whether that's business or personal life. But it was also the community of Selena, all the aspects of Selena. So there's a sense there of maybe rather than pushing emotions down, you bring them above ground into consciousness and you become more aware of the community of Selena. You become more aware of all the different parts of yourself. And in doing that, you can pull together maybe in a more constructive way. So rather than hustle, bustle, do, build, push the stuff underneath, you could move into become more aware of the aspects of myself, maybe anxiety, maybe other feelings that I normally push away, and from these aspects of myself draw a richness from which I can move forward in a different way. So there may be that aspect, and particularly because you see her as nurturing and sister mother, you know, it's then also drawing on that sense, and I guess of what you also said earlier, what you would do for your children, we don't do for ourselves. So there's that mother aspect again, you know. Maybe it's time to mother yourself more in that way.
Wow. What brilliant insight. I am a community. And it, I don't mean that in this really, you know, odd split personality way, but we have so many aspects of ourselves that rise into dominating the different moments that we pass through in a day, and acknowledging that all of that is working, if working together is, well, building its floodplain on a deck up high.
Yes, exactly.
About in the bunker below.
Yeah, I love the way that you describe that, you know, that different parts of ourselves come into play, you know, for specific circumstances. I know you use different words than that. And that's how we do it, isn't it? Work, there's a particular work role at home, there's a home role or whatever. But life is much richer when, whether or not we show that at work or at home, we're actually more in connected with the greater community of ourselves. We can be so much more, come up with better plans. And that just generally that sense in your dream of bringing stuff out from the unconscious and into the higher decks. Now, once you've done that, of course, once you're more in connection with your own inner community, you're actually miraculously also more in connection with your outer community. And that's when you can then make choices, as you've hinted at there, about, you know, maybe I'm in the wrong community, or maybe I'm choosing different values in my community. Maybe there are more supportive communities for me. Maybe there are different communities I could be working with, whatever sense that is. Because the more that we are in contact with our own community, the more we have a sense of valuing community, a sense of understanding the kind of holistic sense of community within ourselves, then we have a clearer vision of that in the outer world, a clearer vision of what it is that we can contribute to community and what it is that community can contribute to us, and which community we need to be in to be of maximum efficiency there.
So Jane, we drew out some more about that first dream, that there were people in the bunker already. Those are also aspects of myself, and would it be worth it for me to meditate on or journal about or think about what are these aspects of self that are in the bunker that was already there waiting for me when I chose that as a hiding place from whatever was coming at the time, not knowing it was a storm. But, you know, would we then assume that there are aspects of self that are still hidden and could need to emerge?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, because it's a series of dreams, the other two dreams, as we'll look into them, will add to that to maybe help you understand that. And even just the two of us powerfully exploring your dream here will probably feed into further dreams, which will actually answer those very questions you've got. Who was in the bunker? Who are you going to lead out of the bunker? Why are they in the bunker? Why are they hiding? So all of that will probably come up in future dreams. But yes, meditating on it, because you understand what the dynamics of this, would probably also bring that to light. So
you know, that was my first question into the bumper. I love how these, you know, rich conversations about your dreams can really bring out all those little parts of your dreams that you had not recalled. But my first question in the bunker to the first person I met is, why are we hiding?
So you moved, that's great observation. So you moved from the beginning of the dream, where the intention was to create a safe place for us, to realizing that it was not about being safe, it was about hiding.
Yeah, wow. And it's so true. If I could demonstrate to you and to these listeners my self, I work from home, I hide. And I have my children with me. I like it at home. I call myself a homebody, but at some point that has a new definition depending on, okay, yeah. I won't talk about that, but you just really are nailing some, you know, just truth about me.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, isn't it? That obviously working from home, there are so many positives from it, and I'm sure that you wouldn't want to give that up. But noting yourself that one of them is possibly hiding, you can then begin with that question in waking life. What does working at home, what exactly am I hiding from? I mean, you may already have some notion of what it is, but there may be deeper bunker stuff there too. And then, of course, you can make a decision. You can say, yeah, okay, I know that about myself. I'm going to continue working from home because I enjoy that, or because it works with my daughters at school, or whatever it is. Or you can say, okay, now I know about that, I'm going to make some adjustments. But self-knowledge is power there.
Yeah, thank you.
So another cue to that, and I do want to go to the other two dreams too, to sort of, you know, look at the evolution of this or the devolution of this, whichever way it's going to go. Another clue to that is right up the front of that first dream, I'm creating a safe place. So any time that you think or feel in life, or reflecting back on these last couple of months, when I've thought to myself, I need safety, or I'm doing this for our safety, or I'm doing this for protection, to then ask yourself the follow-up question, well, am I, or am I doing it to hide? Where do I hustle and bustle for safety when really it's a cover for hiding?
That is rich, and it's so profound, and I can list for you right now a handful of places where I call it safety, but I'm hiding.
Yeah.
Or I realize I'm seeking safety for the same reason that makes me want to hide.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah.
Which might be the Antichrist at the end of our dream.
Well, it might be, yeah. Because in this first part, it's weather related. So often in dreams, weather related will be emotions related. You know, so a thunderstorm might be coming anger, a rainstorm might be coming feeling of deluge, or grey ongoing rain forever could be a feeling of depression. But you particularly mentioned in the dream that when we were talking about it, that you realized from your sister's placement of her safety place that the bunker could become flooded in rain. So there's a sense that the weather related thing you might have been looking at might have been floods and rain. So the emotional thing might have been floods of emotions, or potential flooding of emotion from keeping them at bay. But we'll move on to the second dream, because we've got so much from that, and see what the second dream has to add, shall we?
Okay, sure.
So again, you're doing it again, and it's a couple of weeks later. So again, also later on, when you can actually go through that digital diary and have a reflection in the light of this, look and see what is coming up every 2 weeks, or at least in the last 3 months, seem to have a periodicity of 2 weeks that is bringing up this question of safety and hiding. So we've got here creating a place. This time there's more. Did you say there was more provisioning going on here, or was it? Did you just mention that?
See, in the second dream, we were preparing for war. Yes, it seems like each time the number of people present in the dream grows.
Right.
And in this time, I knew early in the dream it was war, where the first dream, I didn't know it was a storm until late in the dream, or what kind of storm action there would be. So there was more preparing, and I knew up front that we were preparing for war.
Okay. So you were putting more provisions down in the second dream because it was a war or not?
I don't remember a great deal of detail at this point about the provisions themselves or where we were. We weren't in the same place with the decks and the bunkers.
Hmm.
We were in a different place and maybe more of a city, it seems. And expecting things like bombs, where the bunker would have been perfect for this dream. the nature of what was coming, but it was just war, you know.
Okay, so it was more possibly more city based, so may have had more to do with you know, how I fit into society, or how I fit into large groups of people, how I interact with large groups of people. It may have had something to do with that, you know, a city being a place where a lot of people live. And originally I was thinking, oh, we're talking war here, so we're talking some kind of inner conflict, you know, two sides of me at battle with each other. But then when you mentioned, oh, we were expecting bombs, I'm thinking, yeah, so if the first dream was weather, and it was weather related, and I thought it was maybe water and flooding, but maybe it was also, I think the first thing I mentioned was like thunder could be explosions of anger or whatever, then maybe bombs are, maybe being bombed is feeling bombed by angry, explosive kind of feelings. So trying to hide from something potentially explosive if it's bombs, trying to hide from something which might go off. So there's a sense there of moving the dream. See, although it appears to you and to people listening in and to me originally as a kind of devolution dream, like things just get worse, weather, war, antichrist, it's actually, I feel, more of a positive series, because you're becoming, with each dream, more aware. There's more stuff coming up from the bunker. Oh, it's not just weather then, it's a war. Oh, it's not just war then, it's an antichrist. This is a sense of becoming more conscious of what it actually is.
Yes, because it moves from weather, emotions, and what is deep underground to, with the access to some safe place above ground through my sister, to the war, which is conflict of various parts, to this Antichrist, which is a singular powerful being.
Yes.
I see how you... Okay.
So in this, well done. So in this middle part, you're placing the dream, or the dream places itself more in a city community, but there is conflict here and a sense of I'll be bombed, I'll be at the receiving end of something really explosive here. So, you know, on the level of thinking of perhaps, you know, because you said you tend to know from working at home, you sometimes think, am I actually hiding from something? This part of the dream could be, if I get out and interact in the world, are these my fears and feelings that I'll be placing myself more in the front line of conflict, that I will be at the receiving end of explosive stuff? And that may ring true, but then we do this courageous other step of everything in a dream represents the dreamer. So you think, okay, so these bombs and this city, that's actually me. It's me that's saying, if I go out into a more populous area or come more face to face with a lot of people, I'm saying that there will be conflict. I'm noticing my conflict about that. I feel that I will be at the receiving end of explosive kind of feelings, or I will feel explosive about it and I won't like that. It's all about your own perspective, not about what would actually happen.
Wow. I think I'm beginning to tie all of these dreams into timing and what it could be. I don't know if you want me to reveal that, but
only if you're comfortable with it, Selena, because remember, there are people listening in, so it's your choice.
Well, I have a couple of jobs, and one of them is I'm an educator in the stock market, and that's a big community. I'm a moderator, so I'm a speaking educator around everyone, and I haven't really fleshed this out completely. I'm just in the realization process that it could have something to do with my fears around, you know, being in that community as a teacher. And if I am exposed and say something that, you know, people get very heated around their money, right?
Yes.
Again, it sounds very real to working out a part of my history that will definitely have to be worked out before I can go, you know, fully into a future. And that is the last time I was active in my community and community associations, it, and I've used this term so many times, blew up.
Yes.
And I've never engaged in community types of leadership again. And then maybe I needed that, this dream is helping me really rethink that. And if I still have some fears around it, or if I'm just happy being here and not doing in those extra responsibilities in life, like you said.
Yes. That makes perfect sense, Selena. Yeah, the bottom line is that a dream will never tell you what to do. It just shows you what is, so you can then make those powerful decisions yourself. You know, and there are lots of great reasons to work from home, as long as you're aware of some of the negative driving forces in doing that. You can then decide for or against. But that makes perfect sense. A prior experience of a blow up can take the wind out of all of our sails. So you can then say, okay, if I want to go back into that kind of role or a similar kind of role again, then how do I do that without fear of another blow up? Do I go back? And of course the answer is yes, as you've said. Do I go back to within myself to that original blow up and look at not what caused it, because that's the past, none of that, no regret that it was done differently. Just look at it. What was the handprint that it left? What did it leave on me? What fears did it leave me with? What limiting beliefs did it leave me with? And so, you know, how do I deal with those? And we can certainly address some of those with some dream alchemy. How do I deal with those so that that part of my mindset is changed, so that if I do want to go out in a different way, or I want to return to any of these stock market educational mediated things that remind me of that kind of situation, that prior handprint is not there. I'm not primed to think, oh, this will just be another blow up situation, because my history has taught me that equals blow up. We want to unlink that, because that was, for whatever unfortunate circumstance happened, it was a blow up, but that doesn't mean to say that it would be again. In fact, if anything, as we all know, you know, the more challenges we face in life, or I'm not saying it was a failure, but as an example to other people listening in, the more things that we fail, we actually learn from those and go out and do them in a much wiser and better way. So, you know, you can learn rather than possibly, Selena, putting that blow up down there in the bunker and think, I'm going to put that all behind me and I'm going to go on in life in a different way. Instead of that, to actually draw out, look at it. Oh, that was an absolutely awful experience. I hated that. But what can I learn from this that actually makes me even better when I go out, makes me wiser? What can I draw on here? Because if you don't draw on it, that fear of a blow up that you push down the bunker could, of course, blow up because it's not being addressed. It's like blow up, blow up, blow up, blow up, blow up. It's down there in the bunker. It's going to blow rather than diffuse it.
And it's like maybe that aspect of myself is in the shadows working when I begin to take that first step toward, you know, more community responsibility or involvement. And then that aspect of myself is draw me back into the bunker where I feel a little more safe, and I don't even understand why I don't return the call or the email or make the next step.
Absolutely.
And myself for the job I'm being asked to do, like in trading. I'm suffering believing in myself for that job because that job equals exposure, and exposure, you know, is something I've tried to push down because of, this is...
Absolutely. Spot on. Aren't we amazing people?
We are, all 7 billion of us. Complicated and so simple.
complicated and yet so simple if we just look at the stuff. And you're right, you know, that's a beautiful description there. It's not just, as I said, you know, the bomb that can actually explode because we've hidden it in the bunker. It actually does more than that. Exactly as you described, it becomes a saboteur. It stops us from, as you say, returning the call or doing this or doing that. And because it's unconsciously driven, until you bring it under consciousness, as we're doing from, you know, triggering by talking about the dream, you're realizing this stuff, you are already releasing it, you're already letting it go. But until that happens, it's all unconsciously driven. So we don't know why we don't return the call. We put it on some other thing. If I return the call, my daughter would be home from school and I won't be able to finish it. Or, you know, we put it on something that sounds really logical. Or I've got so much hustle and bustle, I've got plenty else to do, I'm not going to return that call, that's a small thing. And we don't really, we make it logical, we make it rational, but it's not. It's our unconscious mind going, don't go there, it'll explode.
And really, these aspects of myself just need acknowledgement. Like I believe that you just said, I don't know that it, I hope that it's that easy to just, like, now that we're talking about it, to let it go, but I think they always need acknowledgement. But this part of me, this part that likes to be a hermit at home all the time with my children, is 10 years buried in this habit.
Yeah.
And so those aspects of myself would have been buried in this way. I don't even know how to, I wouldn't have even known how to acknowledge it without this phone call.
Yes, yeah.
That's entirely, you know, helpful for you.
The longer things go on, the more they become the new normal and we can't access them. So yeah, you're right. And I'm right. And we both mentioned the same thing there. Acknowledging something and bringing it up into consciousness is half the battle, or maybe even 90% of the battle. Just acknowledging these other aspects of ourselves, acknowledging the way that we have made decisions and the way we run our lives, can be enough to release them. And it often is. And particularly with someone like you that really is getting this, you're really touching on it. You know, sometimes I'll be working with someone on a dream and they do get it, but it can take a few weeks more before they really get it. You know, you're really connecting with this material straight away. And I sense probably releasing a lot of it as we're talking. We will nevertheless do a dream alchemy after we've discussed the Antichrist, which won't take us very long. We'll do a dream alchemy, which is a way of just actually going back to the handprint and changing it as well to really, you know, push this one through. With all of us, some dreams we find it easier to acknowledge and release than other dreams. So, you know, it's not necessarily a reflection of the dreamer's competence with understanding a dream. It's that different dreams can really, exploring different dreams at different times of the time can be absolutely ripe. So this was a ripe dream for you, and you're also very good at it. You don't really need me.
Yes, I did. And I felt so stuck around these dreams. I could not see this aspect of myself that I knew you had the ability to work with. It's why I called you. You know, I did need you.
So can you see now where the Antichrist comes into this?
Not yet.
Okay. Describe to me, what does the Antichrist mean to you in general?
Honestly, in general, he doesn't exactly exist as the bad guy or the most powerful guy. He's definitely not the antagonist. I came through a traditional, you know, Christian raising where the Antichrist was a bad guy. But where I am now in my spiritual walk is that it's kind of non-dual. There is no good or bad. There's just creation.
Yes.
So the Antichrist for me is just something everyone else is scared of.
Yes.
And again, it's me being in a part of myself and then in all of these dreams and going, but everyone else is this, but I'm this other thing. But really, I'm all those things. And I don't know how that's so easy for that to slip my mind. You know, especially when I'm trying to analyze my own dream and it's complicated. And I keep forgetting that part of it. And it's such big teaching. And somehow there's an aspect of myself that doesn't want me to remember that.
Everyone struggles with that. It's the simplest dream interpretation route. It's the most truthful one, and everyone struggles with it because it's bringing out a truth for all of us that we haven't wanted to see. So you've got this amazing, I love the way you described the Antichrist there as it's a non-duality, it's part of life, it's, you know, so in many senses now this dream hasn't devolved into the worst possible Antichrist. It's actually brought up that, you know, this is something, as you said, everyone's the Antichrist is something everyone's afraid of, but it's not the ultimate worst thing. It's a non-duality of life. There's good, there's bad in everything. And so this is actually a wonderful, positive last dream. It's realizing that, yeah, there's good, there's bad in everything. There's things that I've labeled within me as good and bad, but they're not really. They're just all part of the non-duality. They're the things that we bring up to, you know, to understand.
Create.
Yeah, exactly, to create, exactly what you're saying there. So that's, you know, it does actually come up as the almost like the final series there, because how do you feel about that?
I'm blown away I was a little fearful of our call in general because I didn't want to hear how this gets worse.
Mm.
And none of these things in dream interpretation, if you just do the short, you know, consideration of it, are positive. But I'm blown away at how positive this is all and how therapeutic series of dreams were. And the fact that, I mean, you could tell by talking to me, I'm a deep thinker, I'm a digger, I'm a want-to-knower kind of person. I couldn't get past these dreams to understand them. They were all confusion to me and seemed bad. And how many other places in my life seem really bad that are not, I mean, not bad as in, you know, I subscribe to the non-duality, of course, but I attend that to spiritual things typically. I don't want to ramble and bore you or your listeners.
You're not boring us at all, but what you're saying is you're forgetting that you're a spiritual being and that the non-duality applies to you as well.
Yeah. Just as easily as I forget that all parts of this dream are me, and how could I not? Because that's like the basis of, you know, of dream work, and something that you regularly remind, you know, us of on the podcast. And it's so funny how when faced with something, we forget all of these really simple but important parts. And
yes,
sometimes you need someone to have to reflect that back, like we've just done. So I'm a little blown away, but let's continue through the last
yeah. I also just want to note that I love that you've gone from the fear of being blown up to actually being blown away in a positive sense. And you're also right there, you know, when we do struggle with understanding a dream, having somebody to talk it through with, somebody that understands the, you know, the ways of doing it, is all it takes sometimes to, you know, create the enlightenment. So yeah, for the dream alchemy, let me have a little think about this. Dream alchemy, it's the key thing, I guess, of the many things you brought up there, was that it's the fear of being blown up again if you move out into of getting bombed, the blow up. So we want to change that around. So in the part of the dream where there's a war, you know, it has to be as simple as defusing a bomb, doesn't it? Let me just think about this. You're preparing for the war. Just trying to get this one. You've got such a wonderful community in that first dream up on the decks that could have the possibility of defusing a bomb right from the get-go, before going through the whole thing. The war. War and peace. Sorry, I'm thinking this out aloud a little bit, just trying to find the best dream alchemy here. I think what's coming to me is I'd like you to, because you said you're creative as well, to build, now this doesn't have to be a major hustle and bustle endeavor, Selena, but it can be like a 1 hour little play job. You know, you could pretend you were only 5 years old and doing a craft project kind of thing. But to build some kind of little tree house or elevated, not a bunker, but an elevated above ground, beautiful little space. And to have or it can just be a drawing of this rather than a three-dimensional craft project, if you like. And the idea is to have in the little tree house, if that's what it is, little symbols of things that are opposite to the dream. So instead of war, there'd be a symbol of peace. Instead of a bomb about to blow up, there would be a sensation of being blown away in a wonderful way.
Oh, nice.
All right. So putting almost like a little altar, but built to represent the opposite to a bunker, an above ground, above deck kind of lovely place. So it's not a safe place. It's a place where everything is out there and open, and there's no threat. And particularly there's no threat of any war or weather or bombs being blown up. So definitely to have within it a symbol of peace and not war, is to reverse that feeling of that there's a potential bomb or that you have to hide from a bomb. So the whole feeling of this, and as you're making it or drawing it, to summon up a feeling within you of it's not safety from hiding from something, it's safety from being open and knowing that nothing is going to blow up, that it's totally, you have total wisdom here, that there is a sense of peace. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm picturing it as I'm doing it. So a peace sign, maybe fireworks instead of bombs.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, absolutely. Because you're definitely not hiding with fireworks. You're a big show and tell.
Yeah, a celebration, and which usually draws community, fireworks
do. Yes.
So that would bring in the community aspect of this, but I still feel like there's some stuff left undone around the Antichrist, and I would certainly want to add that to this dream alchemy.
Okay, I'll come to that. You definitely have that beautiful, you've done that beautifully yourself. What you're doing is transforming the symbol of a potentially explosive bomb into amazingly explosive fireworks, which have all the benefits that you've just listed. So that's your major transformation, and that will actually enable you to go out and do all these things without the saboteur, without the sense of being blown up. So the Antichrist kind of goes with that, because it's a sense of, well, I'm going to go out there. There is no great huge fear. There is it's all non-duality. It's all okay. So if you think, you know, you have described the Antichrist as part of non-duality, really.
Would you say that the bigger part of that dream that stands out is that everyone else was afraid of the Antichrist? Does this mean that those people, when it was a smaller group than there was in the middle dream, but those aspects of myself is afraid of a powerful self, a powerful aspect of myself? I know that I keep a lid on me. You know, I don't ever work at my full capacity. You know? But could I interpret it that way? Is that safe or reasonable?
I think so, because when you think back and when you listen back to this recording too, Selena, you'll hear that one of the first things you said about the Antichrist was powerful. So you were already back then describing the Antichrist as a sense of power. So the fact that you might have denigrated your power or kept a lid on it because you see it as an Antichrist type of power, like you're reversing that by saying, I want to bring out my power because it is a good thing, not because it is a bad thing.
Yeah.
So you can then marry that sense of the firework celebration also as powerful. It's the releasing of the powerful. All the stuff that you held back because of the past blow up, the past bomb, you're now transforming into a wonderful firework celebration. You're going to go out there and you're going to do all this stuff happily. And just as happily, you're going to work from home because that's good too. But you're going to be lid off, Selena. Then that is also, as you say, bringing out the positives of the Antichrist. You are the one that has labeled your power as an Antichrist to be feared, as you say, the people in the dream fearing it, as opposed to an amazing power that you're ready to bring out into the world.
And maybe I'm afraid that if I grow into my, you know, my most self, all of me, all these aspects of myself begin to combine and work together. Maybe there are more aspects, maybe all the extras in this dream, not maybe, but they're me, and I'm afraid that I will misuse the power, or it will be, I don't know, the power of self is, I don't know, maybe for me, I've always thought that I was a lot safer, you know, dumbed down a little bit and less noticed and less not working in my full power. Maybe I'm afraid of my full power.
But as you say that, does that begin to sound silly?
It sounds like a place I've spent a lot of my time.
Yeah. But does it begin to say now that, I've spent a lot of my time there and I can't really see why I did that?
Yeah. I mean, it's like completely new realization. How can you live in a body 40 plus years and not even know yourself until a conversation where you just feel like you learned so much about how you've been operating?
Yeah. And, you know, you will have done amazing things during those 40 plus years. So, you know, that operation manual has taken you to amazing places. It's just, as you say, taking the lid off and letting it take you to even more amazing places. For example, not acting dumb, but showing everybody what you've really got. And I think, you know, you mentioned earlier, have I got fears that if I show this, X will happen, Y will happen, Z will happen. The mere fact that you now can see that, it's not unconscious anymore. You're actually naming those fears. You named them yourself right there and then to us. That there are now conscious fears, so you can address them, you can work with them. You know, future dreams might show you where they came from and you can go, oh, right, okay. And you may or may not apply the dream alchemy. You become more aware. But the fact that they're already in your consciousness, not unconscious, takes away their power to stop you showing your big power.
Wow. I'm going to give my Antichrist wings and a crown.
Great, that's perfect.
You sign the fireworks, wings and a crown.
can we all come? It sounds spectacular.
That'd be great. Picture.
We're going to have to wrap because we're getting towards the end of our allotted time for a podcast. Is there anything else in particular that you'd like to ask or say before we go?
No, just I'm extending enormous gratitude for you. Thank you.
Thank you
for you, and I'm grateful for technology that makes this possible. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Selena. Thank you for being a wonderful guest on The Dream Show and for helping everyone listening in. Everyone will have got something spectacular, firework level from you. So thank you.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
And there we have again another wonderful guest bringing another powerful dream to the Dream Show. I'm always so grateful for everybody that puts up their hand to be a guest on the Dream Show. If you'd like to be a guest, go to janetheresa.com, go to the menu, go to the Dream Show, go to the drop-down box, guest on the Dream Show brings up a form for you to fill in. If you know people, if you know people who dream, we all dream, it's just that we don't all remember them. Do pass on this link for other people to listen to. All the episodes are powerful. We get so much out of these shows, out of these guests from having insight into their lives, how the dreams relate to their lives. You learn more and more tips about how to approach your own dreams and understand them. But I think it's more than that. Just getting the insight into other people's lives and the things that hold them back and the things that move them forward are inspirational to all of us, whether or not we remember our dreams. Please share the Dream Show and please do go and do that little ratings thing. You know, it's not hard. You don't have to write a review. It would be nice if you did, but you don't have to write a review. You just go to Apple or wherever and just put your little finger along and give it 5 stars or however many stars you think. But it's all done in a second and it really helps the show become more more prominent on the platforms. So the next episode of the Dream Show, episode 230, will be out on the 21st of May 2020 if you're listening to this in real time. The website's again janetheresa.com and dream-academy-online.com. I look forward to bringing you another dream at the end of May. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.